This episode of Film Sack is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can get over 100,000 books, periodicals, and other great audio content right now. And to get one for free, simply go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and do it today.
This is a football town, let me remind you. And yes, the team will get new jerseys and new knee pads and new jock straps and anything else they want in the name of education, because that is what the school board wants.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 161, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I am Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight, Brian Flagpole to the Nuts Dunaway.
Oh, my, no way. All right, win. Sure, there are a lot easier ways to beat up on someone's nuts, but hardly any more entertaining than Harry Hobbit scrote right into ye old flagpole. Guaranteed to make them run to the boys' room crying, just like when they attempted to leave Samwise on the riverbank. It's Hobbits and Hardnet on this week's Film Sack.
I didn't mean to, Mr. Frodo.
My scrote.
All right, nice work. Also with us, Randy, that jerk from Happy Gilmore, Jordan.
Hold on. Okay. I'm just... I didn't expect my nickname to be that long. I'm sorry. Aloha, Brian, Scott, and the rest of you. I'm Randy, that jerk from Happy Gilmore, Jordan, and I'll be your teacher this year. As you can see, it's 1998, and I'm required by fashion to wear a goatee. This will go on for another 8 years or so when trends will change, and only redneck stereotypes played by people like Danny McBride will continue wearing goatees, while the rest of us will suddenly start wearing heavy, thick-rimmed black plastic glasses for a few years, a real head-scratcher for Drew Carey. Anyway, I'd like to introduce you to a new student who's just moved here from a long way away. Mary Beth comes to us with a huge forehead, unnaturally large-looking eyes, a pointy chin, shockingly clear, shiny, bright white skin, and does not, I repeat, does not stick out like a sore thumb from the moment you first lay eyes on her as being an alien.
That was a long intro. You're right.
But wow. Kudos to, I had in my notes, the dude looks like Danny McBride from Eastbound and Down.
Yeah. Nice. It's pretty good. All right, finally, Brian, where can I get a copy of a magazine called Boob Ibbot?
I would like to know that, actually. Yeah. Ah, yes, that old tried and true favorite. Kill the Queen and everyone gets back to normal. By that logic, eliminating Bruce Jenner should take out all three Kardashians.
Nice.
Well said. All right, well, that magazine was actually called Boob. Just wanted to make boob. It wasn't boobs. Yes. There was no S.
No, it's only one on each page.
Yeah, boob.
Sometimes they go together, but most of the time, no.
Yeah, and the mom knew right where it was.
Where can I hide my porn? Oh, let me see. Under the bed.
It's not even porn. It's the porno. Like,
take his porno. Take his porno. Take his porno.
Take your mom. Take your best porno mag, or however that song goes.
Right.
And it's called Boob. It's a specifics fetish when you only like one. All right.
Can I just say something about that whole take his porno?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
I don't know. I don't know if my mom listens to this podcast or has ever listened to it.
Probably not, is my guess, but yeah.
But I had the ultimate hiding spot when I was a kid in my house for illicit materials, whatever they may be.
Right. The drugs, the porn, the whatever. Right.
Whatever that might be, maybe it was just salt. I don't know what I'm referring to, and I'm never going to admit.
Was it scat in a pin?
But I had the ultimate hiding place, and I just want to tell other like maybe there's some kids listening, and you, like every time you put something between the mattresses, they find it. Well, that's because that's where they're looking. Hide your illicit materials in your parents' bedroom. Mm-hmm. Trust me.
Where they'll never
find a hiding place in
that
their
way. Dad gets in big trouble.
Exactly. It works two ways. They never look for your stuff there. And then when they find it, they have a huge problem with each other.
This is pretty good advice.
Yeah.
And then but, dad's going to kill you.
So you got to go looking for it when you want to use it.
You definitely need to live in a household where your parents don't spend like a lot of time in their bedroom.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mom. This whole
conversation has gone in directions I didn't expect. But fun nonetheless. So, okay, again, lesson learned. If we could sum it into one thing, if you're going to buy a copy of Boob, put it in your parents' room. The movie is The Faculty. Not just Faculty. That'd be better, actually. That's The Faculty, directed by Robert Rodriguez. And this is him coming fresh off of one of my favorite movies he ever did, which is Desperado. And I don't remember if I saw this back in the day or not. I know I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I don't remember hardly a thing. So it felt new to me. We'll get into all that and more after Scott Fletcher has his way with it. Here he is. Take it away.
The Faculty. Many teens think their teachers hail from another planet, but what if it's true? Harrington High School students notice that faculty members aren't quite themselves and discover an alien infection they might not be able to stop.
Thank you, Scott Fletcher. That was amazing, right?
It was great.
It was really good. It's not like we're doing this in post. We heard it.
I can't think of the last time I heard Scott read one like that.
I know, incredible stuff. Crazy business. And yes, we did all just hear it. We all actually did just hear whatever he said.
Oh, yeah.
This movie written by David Wechter, Bruce Kimmel.
David Wechter.
No relation to Jimmy, as far as I know.
Let's talk about this writer. Wait a minute, though.
Scream people is who did it, who wrote it.
Right. Kevin Williamson is really responsible for the script.
Oh, is he?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
he is the Scream guy.
Yeah, he's a Scream dude. And there's stuff on the material that says from the people who brought you Scream and Scream 2, you know.
And I Know What You Did Last Summer and Dawson's Creek and The Vampire Diaries. And if you start like stringing all of those together, you realize where this film belongs. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad because it's like the least of them.
Yeah. Well, I've seen a lot of Vampire Diaries. I think I'll put this ahead of that a little bit. Vampire Diaries sucks. Sucks. My wife loves it. So don't tell her
When you frame it with things like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer and mm-hmm. Dawson's Creek, it's like,
yeah. But what they didn't tell us is they just went ahead and stole the script for The Thing, put it in high school.
Yeah.
And then called it The Faculty. That more than anything, that's what I was sensing here. Is there's a lot of
Have a petri dish? Yeah, use a big pen.
Yeah, here's a pen. Don't have somebody to lose their head. Just have Fan K Jansen lose hers and then crawl across the room creepily.
That was awesome scene.
Right.
Which didn't make a lot of. I have a couple of plot holes. Can I bring up one now? Okay, here we go.
Yes, let's do a trope alert already.
Yeah, let's do because the movie's all about tropes, so it's hard to pick out exact ones. But here's one for sure. So. I understand that some of the people who got hit, Brian Dunaway called it scat because that's what they call it in the movie.
Right.
It's some homemade drug that Josh Hartnett makes in his basement while he's not fixing his hair. Yeah. And
he's got plenty of time.
Yeah, plenty of time, I guess. And he makes it and he puts it in Bic pens. And so you unscrew the pen and then you snort it out of the pen, which wouldn't work. As everyone knows, Bic pens there's a tiny little hole on a Bic pen to keep the chamber pressurized or equalized mm-hmm. all the time. And that stuff would be leaking out. But anyway, whatever. We'll let that one go.
He fills it with some sort of epoxy, but keep going.
Sure. You know more about this guy than I do.
Hair product. Yes. He's not using it.
Indeed. So at the end of all this, or at the point of all this, is that he's making these drugs. And the drug turns out to be the thing that exposes and kills the alien. And really, it's just caffeine powder. It's caffeine pills munched up and put into this tube. He claims there's some other homemade ingredients or whatever. But really, he's faking it. He's going to school. And that guy from that 70s show, the one that didn't have a career after that show.
Danny Masterson.
That guy walks up, gets a thing. Him and his nerd buddy buy it. The other guy reminded me of the Mac from the Mac and PC ads. What's his name? Justin Long or something.
Oh, Justin Long.
It wasn't him, but it looked like him. And they think they're getting this awesome drug, but really it's just caffeine. So it turns out caffeine is the one weakness of the alien race. And if you get it in their eye or their face, or their blown on them like powder.
But they're not an alien race exactly. Like that
symbiote.
That would have worked. That would have worked if there was like a like a commingling of a creature in there. You know, like if there were like the Trill, I would have gone with it.
Right.
But no, it's just a person who's being possessed, right?
Right, I guess so. But herein lies the problem.
By a symbiote, by an alien symbiote. Right.
Yeah, but here's where the problem lies. They're able to. There's the queen, who's the blonde, pale girl, and she's just shape-shifting, right?
Right.
Like she's just turning into a full-on thing, and then back to her own naked self again, and then walking around doing whatever she does. That's fine. I can live with that. We do that in movies sometimes, but they had a rule in this movie they established with the powder. If you got hit with the powder, you were dead. That killed you. You were then murdered.
It's a diuretic.
Right. Right. At least it seemed to with some
like
people.
Salt on a snail.
And then what's her name literally loses her head. And then it gets up. So you got Jean Grey's head moving across the yard with tentacle feet back over to where her body is standing so she can pick it up and kind of John Carpenter style stick that thing back on her neck and be healed or whatever. You got John Stewart getting one in the eye and totally dying. These people were dead, yet they came back later. But others were less killed, like just had a powder blown in their face, like Fraser's wife. And she was dead. She was out.
Yeah,
so,
this is a trope in and of itself, the varying degrees of lethality.
Actually, Fraser's wife was shot in the head first. So she was really dead.
Yeah, but John Stewart was stabbed in the brain with a pen.
You can get stabbed in the eye and still live.
You're going to defend these bad plot devices.
No, that is a good point. Like, okay, at what point do you stop being a person being controlled by the symbiote and become symbiotic enough to have your head walk around and try and find your body?
Well,
it's not explained.
That's the other issue. So I understand that when the things were little shrimpy things and they were in the tank.
When they were the sea monkeys?
Yeah, when they were sea monkeys and they were splitting in half and stuff and they had the little red tentacle things. And so anytime anybody had that, so when you cut off John Stewart's fingers and then those red things would come out and try to, reattach or regrow or do whatever they were doing. I can kind of get behind that, because those are little things inside of you, like little creatures, and they've been dividing and they're all crawling around your face and stuff. I get that. But when they when her head is lopped off in the car accident and then giant tentacle feet come out and walk her back over to where she is on the bus, honestly, the bigger job would have been have the body walk over and pick the head up. If you want to impress me, you want to make me go, wow, have the body do a little bit of the work. But it just felt, I don't know, that kind of stuff always gets me because I don't think it's that hard for movies like this to tie up those loose ends. And yet they don't. They just let these loose ends hang and flap in the wind. And it bugs me.
I completely agree.
Come on. Usher was the school bully.
No, he wasn't.
Right. He played a character named Token. and that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. This film comes after hundreds and hundreds of trope-filled high school teenager films. Mm-hmm. How did it fall right into the pit of chock full of tropes?
Yeah.
And how did it not become a parody of itself? That was actually my only one of my complaints with the film is that this would have been great if it had kind of gone down the Scream,
right?
Parody of itself, but still, right.
You just have Frodo start saying, "I think we're in a horror movie." Okay, all right. So what are we supposed to do?
Split up, yeah, yeah. There is definitely a weird unknowingness to what everyone's doing, and it felt like that was a mistake. Like they should have been knowing what was going on more.
I saw this when it came out in the theater.
Yeah.
And really? I remember liking it. Yeah. And I think whatever was there was tongue in cheek at the time. And I think maybe it didn't hold up very well, but I still think it's a good movie. I still enjoy it.
Maybe from the 1998 vantage point, it was more ironic than now. Like it plays very straight. Like a serious horror film.
Did you guys watch The Blob? I mean, the later one, the remake.
No, I never saw the other remake. I don't think I ever saw any Blobs
but
the original.
But I think it was like 1990 or something.
Yeah. Right, right. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Is that it? Yeah. Okay. I thought there was one newer than that. If there's not, there will be.
Is there? Oh, there definitely will be.
Yeah, you can't go 2 decades without a new Blob.
1988 was the most recent Blob.
Okay.
Really?
88?
Oh, 88.
It's time.
Seems like it was newer than that.
Kevin Dillon.
Okay.
Was the lead actor in that.
The statute of limitations ran out in 2008.
And really nobody else. Donovan Leitch.
Okay, you're killing me, but I want to know where my partner Brian Dunaway is going with the question. Did you guys watch the Blob?
Right.
Oh, well, I just feel like there was like every 5, 6, 7 years or so, there seemed to be a resurgence of the 50s kind of horror movie. And this film worked like that 50s kind of horror movie to me.
Like Slither, like what's the one where the European vacation Rusty, it was like Slither. Everybody was swallowing big worms in the town except him, and everyone's possessed except him. It's Invasion of the Body Snatchers is what this
is. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But moreover, it is The Thing mixed with... It's those two movies. It's The Thing and Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which you could argue The Thing is basically that too.
And I really feel like this movie was trying to get kind of like trying to make some of these young actors be like these breakout kind of stars. Mm-hmm. And some of them did.
Well, Harshnett did all right. Hartnett.
Harshnett. Usher's doing fine, but Usher's not fine.
I think Elijah Wood did okay for himself.
Yeah, he did okay. He was 2 years away from being in New Zealand filming stuff. Maybe
the Hayek is in this film.
The Hayek is in there. Well, he hires her for everything.
Right.
Christopher McDonald, who I mentioned earlier, he's in it.
So many of these people though were, you know, either just on the cusp of having bigger things or maybe kind of at the peak. I mean, John Stewart, this was
1 year before he took over the show.
For Daily Show. He had his talk show, right? His MTV thing.
Yeah. He had that going. I think that had been canceled at this point. And so he had done, I want to say just prior to this, he did Half Baked or maybe it was something else.
It was prior. Yeah. Half-Baked.
And then this, and this I think
Famke Janssen hadn't done anything. I don't even think she'd done the James Bond, Goldeneye.
That would have been that year. It would have been 98. So she would have. Okay. This may have been filmed before or after. But you're right. Her star was not on the rise.
Have you guys seen that the new series on Netflix? Was her in it?
What's it called?
Hemlock Grove.
Hemlock Grove. Yeah.
She in that?
Not seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear she's got a goofy accent though.
Oh.
It is goofy, but I enjoy it.
I like her.
It's gotten some people have complained a little bit about it, but what I've watched so far has been pretty good.
It's got that Seinfeld actor in it. This movie,
I like The Faculty.
This movie's got that actor in it who tried to kill himself. That was on Seinfeld a bunch. He was George's boss for a while. Do you know the guy I'm talking about?
He tried to kill himself.
Yeah, I guess
Daniel Von Bargen. No,
that's it. Daniel Von Bargen. He that guy played Mr. John Tate. He he has real bad genetic diabetes type something or other, and it's gotten so bad that he's had already 1 foot and part of an arm amputated, and I think he was just trying to get out.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, one of those deals. I think we talked about him on TMS once, but he's okay. I like that guy. Like, when he does things, I go, oh, look at this. It's that guy.
Yeah, he's the guy who was had the photo taken of him with George in the background and a mole. I could go totally down the rabbit hole with that.
But that's he was a great character on Seinfeld.
He was. I think he was also responsible for the Human Foundation, or he was the recipient of the Human Foundation, had to come to Festivus.
Now, for me, go ahead.
He was the bad guy in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou with the awesome sunglasses.
That's Daniel Von Bargen.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
He's the one who he represents the Grim Reaper, right?
No.
He must, because John Goodman.
You mean in that movie, yes.
In the film, In Brother, Where Art Thou, he represents the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, I jumped straight to Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey when you said that. For some reason. And that's the principal from Iron Man 3. All right. What else was I going to say about that, though? Oh, that this is a good cast. Like, there's a decent, and you're right, some of these people weren't anybody quite yet, but they were all kind of on the verge. Robert Patrick, this is our second film sack with Robert Patrick in it.
Robert Patrick.
First being freaking the Double Dragon.
Oh, Dragon. Yeah, yeah.
He's terrible.
He's so great.
We should talk about Laura Harris, because
Terminator 2 is my favorite movie.
Wait, Laura Harris, remind me.
She's the blonde, pasty skin blonde, turns out to be the queen.
Well, who does she become that we care about? No, I mean, things.
She was in Dead Like Me.
Okay.
Fairly big series. She was in 24 for a whole season.
Oh, yeah. Which season? Because I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, 24. Season 2.
She was the woman getting married who turned out to be kind of the mastermind behind the whole plot to kill Jack
Bauer. I thought that was a Knight Rider episode.
May as well have been.
Might as well have been.
She played Nola in Stargate Atlantis. I remember her in that. Yeah, a bunch of stuff.
I love the fact that Summer Phoenix was cast as the FU girl.
Right.
Wait, hold on. I got to get her.
Summer Phoenix is one of the Phoenix kids.
Oh, she is? Uh-huh. She have a hair lip? She
must be.
Only one of them has that.
Yeah, that's Joaquin Phoenix has that. Hold on. Who's Summer? I don't see this person. Summer who?
Summer Phoenix.
Oh, Summer Phoenix.
In the cast and crew, she's about 15.
Oh, she's below Elijah Wood then on that list?
She's right below
Elijah Wood. Yeah, this is listed in order of credits or something like that.
Summer Phoenix, there she is.
Yeah, she's just the one getting in a fight down the hallway, right? With,
oh, she's the one that's effing and swearing.
She's the one who's constantly effing and swearing along with FU Boy.
Okay, so right. I like that. So she's related to the Phoenixes?
Yes.
That's a rough family, dude. Anyway.
No, it's not.
She's the one with Tourette's, so they hired her for this business.
Yeah.
They've all got issues. That was her issue. A little bit of trivia in the film. At one point, the principal suggests saving money by reusing the set from Our Town. The joke here is that Thornton Wilder's Our Town has no set.
Right. No, I didn't get that.
Whole point of that play is no set.
Yep. I did not get that.
That's all right. How many times have you seen Our Town, Brian?
Never.
Then there you have it.
I just thought she was cheap.
John, here's my favorite.
And by the way, that line was spoken by B.B. Newworth,
who
may be the most successful, probably the most successful Broadway actor from this film.
That's true.
Absolutely the most successful.
My problem
Broadway
with her and being in, well, in this film, yeah, but my problem with her in movies of any kind, they never cast her as someone I like. She's always a terrible person. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's just her lot in life. She's the.
That's how I felt about T-1000 in this movie. Robert the whole Patrick. Time, I'm like, yeah. When is he ever likable? Could he be likable?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, some people have an expression or a face, you know. I mean, basically, they just won't ever play the good guy.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
The romantic lead, you're never going to see, you know, you won't see Steve Buscemi in the romantic lead. He'll be the foil. He'll be the buddy. He'll be the friend who gets put in a wood chipper, but he's never taken the romantic lead.
The minute I saw Robert Patrick, I thought, oh, look, T-1000. I hope he gets squished.
Yeah.
Is it T-1000?
Yeah. He's good. He's a good guy in Fire in the Sky.
Oh, that's okay. Great.
That's one example.
Is he the one that takes up the bum?
No, that's
no
that's
one,
Friday Night
I don't
Lights
think
guy.
Anyone takes it up the bum, do they?
Yes, yes. The Friday Night Lights about. Guy. The
Coach Taylor?
The actor. No, the actor who directed Friday Night Lights.
Peter Berg. Well, I didn't know he was in that. Why? I've got to see Fire in the Sky again. But I just remember T-2000 being in that and being pretty straight up normal. What'd I say?
T-2000. I don't know.
Did I get the new model? All right.
Yeah, T-1000.
Speaking of Terminator, here's a nice transition for you. John Stewart in this movie, comedian, show, you know, Daily Show host John Stewart. Mm-hmm. Fool of our times, John Stewart. That's my sister Wendy calls him. Everyone needs a fool, she says. John Stewart plays Professor Edward Furlong in this movie. Actor Edward Furlong played John Connor in Terminator 2, Judgment Day, chased by the T-1000. Terminator played by Robert Patrick, who here played Coach Joe Willis.
Okay. And you said this movie didn't have depth.
Yeah.
it definitely has confusing casting. I'll give you that.
That is a little odd. Yeah. Well, that Edward Furlong kid's constant trouble now, too. I feel bad for that kid.
Yeah, he is.
He's a mess. How about this one? In exchange for product placement in the film for clothier Tom Hilfiger. I don't like the term clothier.
Clothier.
Okay.
Tom Hilfiger's fashion line. The teens from the movie cast appeared together in a TV commercial and print ads, a big campaign for Tommy Lee jeans that went throughout 1998. Right. I was too busy playing GoldenEye and Zelda to notice, possibly StarCraft at that point.
Right.
It was a great year for video games, everybody. I was probably playing Half-Life. Just you could keep going. That year was amazing. Listen, 98 was for video games that 84 was for movies. I'll just say that. There's my comparison.
All right.
Can you just talk about Christopher McDonald's wonderful performance?
Oh, Christopher McDonald. Oh, The jerk, the guy I was talking about at the top of the show from Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Yeah, he's great. He's one of our Trek connections as well, but I like him.
I think he
he's never played a nice guy. Well, the guy, he was on for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But he did. The whole time he was on, I was just like, wow. He's like,
he was really good in that little role.
Right?
He's always good as that guy who doesn't trust everybody.
Well, he does. He always plays the jerk. I mean, there's a guy, perfect example of a guy who's never going to play the romantic lead.
I know. I kept half expecting him and Bebe Neuwirth's character to make eyes at each other while I was in the principal's office.
Well, she kind of made eyes at him.
Now my brain is naturally doing these circles. Christopher McDonald, who was also in Happy Gilmore, which was an Adam Sandler film like Big Daddy, which starred Jon Stewart.
What? Oh, my gosh. The snake is eating us up. let's see. Harry J. Knowles, the bespectacled, giant, red-haired teacher, having his injury examined by Nurse Harper, Salma Hayek. Knowles is a longtime friend of Robert Rodriguez and a fellow resident of Austin, Texas, where the movie was filmed. You forget what a rotund individual he is.
And he's the dude behind Ain't It Cool News.
Yeah. He's all up in that joint.
Can you even call that stunt casting?
Doesn't he own part of the Alamo Drafthouse or something, Randy? You being from there?
I don't remember if he ever invested in Alamo Drafthouse, but he was definitely for a long while he was like Alamo Drafthouse attendee and fan number one.
Yeah.
Like he was in that the original Alamo, which was on Congress Avenue, for quite a bit.
And isn't he the one that when Roger Ebert first had his cancer, he sat in for him on his review show with the other guy, not Siskel. That was way back.
I didn't know that. That's news to me.
I saw that a few different times. It's ain't it cool news to you is what you meant to say.
They also dragged in his relatives, right? You already said that, right?
Yeah.
Harry Knowles brought in like his siblings or something from this film, like they played extras.
Yeah, if you saw any big gingery looking huge guys in the background, that was totally Harry Knowles. It was the Knowles family. Yeah. But no, he was, I want to say, who was the guy that took over for Siskel? Ah, crap.
It was I know.
You know who I mean.
Richard Roper,
that's it.
Roper, that's
he
right.
sat in with Roper when Ebert first started getting sick and stuff. So that was always really interesting to me because I'd never even heard of that guy back then. This was kind of early-ish web, you know.
Right.
Ain't It Cool News actually hasn't updated its pages much since then, but it was really interesting to see him in there. And when I saw him, the minute I saw him getting checked out by Selma Hayek, all I could think of is, dude, you're getting checked out by Selma Hayek. Who was not in this movie very long.
Very little. Yeah. As a matter of fact, that was pretty common for the faculty parsley to just disappear and not be anywhere and then all of a sudden show up.
Is she the chick in the bucket?
She never does anything. After she gets turned, she just basically stands in the hall, and that's about it. That's where she just kind of ends. It doesn't.
Yeah,
chick in the bucket.
That's right.
I'm giving her chick in the bucket status. And one note: last time I'll mention West Wing on the show. Okay, I promise. This is it.
Whatever.
That show is seven seasons of chicks in the bucket. They constantly are putting chicks in the bucket and not explaining what happened to them. It's really crazy. It's not that it kills you, and it doesn't hurt the show really that much. But they'll give you somebody and say, hey, here's a character you're going to get to know and like. And then, where'd they go? And they're not here anymore.
It's like summer camp all over again. Yeah. They're just gone.
It's really weird.
Well, and West Wing gives you the idea that they're going to use them again. You know, like how with the Next Generation, you get the feeling that Barkley could be a part of any episode.
Yeah.
He hasn't been forgotten, is what I'm saying. He's still in the background there. You never feel like, they used him and now he's on a different show, so you'll never see him again.
Yeah, you think he's in engineering and he's just down there working away. But the way they do it in the West Wing, it was like, this guy is head of the Republican Party and is
the Speaker of the House.
And then next week it's like, who's that guy? Well, that's the Speaker of the House. No, it isn't. There was a different guy. Anyway. Yeah.
Have you finished finally? Have you gotten through watching West Wing?
I'm done. I finished on Saturday. So I loved it.
One of the best final episodes of any series.
Completely agree. They didn't play it for all the ways that usually these shows play that stuff. It was really well done. Yeah.
I just love how like the point they mean about occupying the Oval Office. Yep. They really get that across with. What's his name?
Jimmy Smith.
John Goodman.
Oh, John Goodman.
Like, just love that.
I love John Goodman when he was in there.
I so would have rather watched the last episode of West Wing than The Faculty.
Well, Ibbot's not sick of me talking about that show at all, so it's all
no,
good.
No, not one bit. Not keep talking about bit. West Wing, yeah.
All right, before we move on, I just want to pop in here real quick and tell you that I love Audible. I love everything I can get through Audible, especially my fantasy books, my science fiction novels, my film adaptations, that kind of stuff. It's the best. And I'm telling you, Audible's got the best unabridged content you can find. Hundreds of thousands of titles for you to stick in your ear holes. You're done with FilmSack. You've heard this week's episode and you're thinking, man, I got like a week. What am I going to listen to between now and then? And I would say, well, go pick up Game of Thrones or go pick up Stephen King novel or pick up something and put that great audio experience in your head and read your book that way. And then go walk the dog, get some exercise, hang out. Right? It's a great place to go to get all this stuff. And you can get a book for free right now. It's real simple. Go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. And get a free audiobook download right now of your very own. Absolutely free. Thank you for your support, Audible. Right. All right, let's move on. You can tell this movie was in the 90s. This grunge music and the...
Oh, I love the music.
And Josh Hartnett's hair. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's pretty gnarly.
Was there ever a moment in he's on screen and you're just not staring at his awful hair?
It's beautiful,
it's
man.
Like pat talking head about? And spit curls, and it's just a
It's weird to think he's only He's only, he's what, 2 years away from Black Hawk Down, I want to say, that open in 2001, so he would have headed pretty quickly into that production. That's really weird to think, because that's a very serious, I think, a really good role. I think he was great in that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, man, that, by the way, if you haven't watched that lately, it's a damn good movie.
You haven't.
It's really good movie.
What he made before Black Hawk Down was Pearl Harbor.
Mm.
Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor.
That was poo.
It was, it,
oh,
but
wasn't
it was
so bad.
Oh, it was
but don't say that, Scott.
Of all the Bay movies, I rank it pretty low on my least favorite. It's right down there with the Transformers.
I didn't enjoy it a lot the first time I saw it, but on renting the DVD afterwards, I think I enjoyed it more.
Look, you cross those over, give me some Transformers and World War II action together. Pearl Harbor and Transformers, that would have been something.
Ooh, I think you're on.
That is interesting.
We would have turned the tides of the war against the Japanese. All right.
Now, can we talk a little bit about the opening credits for this film?
Yes, please.
And how are you in the world supposed to be able to keep track of everybody's name at the very beginning of this film?
Right. The names are supposed to mean stuff then.
No, they didn't mean anything. They were just names. And I think what they were trying to do, Tarantino-ish. Like, I mean, you got to remember, this is the 90s where him and Tarantino are still going, dude, we should totally do this. You know, like where they were just still hanging out and making weird stuff. And they had, what, the year before did Dust Till Dawn, I want to say, or maybe the year after this. I can't remember. I think Dust Till Dawn was before this, I think. But yeah, he still had the fresh stink of Tarantino on him. So he's going to do Tarantino-like things, which is, you know, throw all these names out and stuff. Did I tell you I watched Reservoir Dogs? Who did I tell that to? It was you, Brian.
It was me?
Yeah, I think I was telling you one morning.
You told me that.
Brian doesn't remember anything about it. TMS is like a wash.
Were you connecting it to West Wagons?
No, I wasn't. I was just talking about how I feel like I'm watching it with different eyes now, his early stuff. I'm having fun with it. I actually kind of want to go through... I want to do a Tarantino-a-thon for a while. Mm-hmm. Just kind of, because I think I was too young and I don't know what I was. At that age, when that movie came out, I think I just didn't get it. I think I was just like, well, what's this for? Why? Sitting around talking about Mr. Pink's penchant for food or, you know, what are we doing?
What like a virgin means.
Yeah. That all seemed really weird at the time. And I understand that's kind of the point. Like he brings this crazy new voice to cinema and everyone went, whoa, I've never heard dialogue like this before. But at the time I was like, yeah, I've never heard dialogue like this before. This is stupid. I want to watch Jurassic Park.
Now it's kind of passe. Like you watch Reservoir Dogs and that diner scene and you're like, yeah, this is old.
It does. It feels, you're right. I'm seeing it through eyes of somebody who's now seen a million things that were inspired by Tarantino style.
Right.
Including
right.
his own later work. And you're like, yeah, this is
Lock, Stock,
this is pretty early business here.
Snatch and stuff like
but
that.
But I'll tell you what, that scene when the cop's getting his ear cut off And
it's harrowing.
And he's about to set. There's a moment where, okay, so that is harrowing. It's horrible. And that music's playing. And it's all that iconic stuff. And you don't actually see him cut it off, which is even worse. He walks out the front door, still dancing to that music. Now it's no music. He's outside in a parking lot. Looks like it could be anywhere, any industrial park zone in any city in America. Just nonchalantly getting into a car, looking at people across the street, pulls a gas can out, walks back in there. Music's still going. Dude's screaming and bleeding everywhere. He's about to set him on fire, and that Tim Roth gun comes out of nowhere. It's that whole thing is still freaking amazing. Like amazing little bits of cinema there. Then occasionally it'll be like, oh yeah, this is Tarantino's first thing because everyone kind of sucks. But then it's like, but then it's like really good again. Anyway, I don't know why I brought that up. Why did I bring that up?
Can we talk about, before we get to the clips, can we talk just for a second about the characters that are portrayed? We have kind of a Breakfast Club meets some kind of aliens, body snatchers kind of thing going on.
It is totally like every representative of every high school clique is right there.
You got the nerd, you got the jock, you got the
Bad boy. The jock. She actually goes through and describes them at one point in time, and I didn't get it written down. Did you guys catch it?
Oh my gosh, you know what? You're totally dead right though. The girl, the girl that works for the paper, she's the prissy, popular, good-looking girl. So there's what's her
Jordana
name?
Brewster.
You got your nerd kid, so there's him. You got your Bender guy.
We need like a general trope alert for this, like a trope alert.
Because there's three girls, as I do them, just have them go ding.
Yeah.
There's three girls, three guys, because I was watching a teenager movie, so I knew that was important. It's like, okay, if you have an unequal amount,
they all pair up. Yeah,
right.
If you have who's the Ally Sheedy in here? Oh, the girl in all black.
Stokes.
Right.
Stokes.
The pseudo lesbian.
Yeah,
exactly.
The one that used lesbian as a shield or whatever.
The non-lesbian.
Yeah. The non-lesbian.
She's kind of cute in her own weird way, kind of like Ally Sheedy was, I guess.
I thought it was funny that Elijah Wood's character was not meek and smart. He was just wuss.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's cool. That is a bending of the trope to have the nerdy guy not be the guy who says, oh, you know, if we assemble this and build this sort of thing, then we can have a way to stop them. It's like, no, I'll just run through the bleachers and let it collapse on the thing.
Right.
He's good at running. That's his whole thing, they say, throughout the whole show. He's an expert on running, and that comes in to save his bacon at the end.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Here's my big observation about the film. I have one big observation about the film, and that is when you have this plot device like possession, and everybody's trying to figure out, you know, who's possessed, and there are changes happening, and you got to resist it, and everybody's got to come together. There's naturally a sort of character development that every character has to go through. The problem is they're all caricatures. So you're doing caricature development, which turns out to be really bad. Yeah, like, it's really sad how, for example, every other football player was just a mean jerk jock. You know, like this guy quits the football team right before the big game, and he doesn't have a single friend that comes over and is like, hey, buddy, what's going on? Are you okay? I'm worried about you here. No, they're just like, get him. Every one of them.
I love the two dimensionality of the football team as one evil entity. when they're running around the buses, when they're running around the buses and Elijah Wood's trying to hide, and they start to run around and tap shoes or something.
They're like the stormtroopers of this movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
That's my phrase for this episode.
I like caricature. I like it. Let's see. Too much time in Zeke's lab snorting caffeine dust. I thought that just took too long.
Oh my. Yeah, because I was like, everybody had to do the same thing. Oh, I'm not doing drugs. I can't do drugs. No, do drugs. Okay, give it to you. I'm doing the drugs. Just do the drugs. Yeah. Okay, we're not going to do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
If it had been the fun horror movie that we wanted it to be, there would have been a montage of them all putting their team together and making lots of caffeine and, you know, like arming themselves with caffeine dispensing weapons, right?
Right. The weapon construction montage.
Yeah.
Right. And that would have been such a better scene. Wow.
Yeah, it would have been better.
Actually, I found it kind of it was actually kind of effective to me because I had forgotten. I haven't seen this movie in years. And I was like, oh God, they're dragging this out. And I'm like, none of them are aliens. And then one of them was an alien. I was like, what the
they're trying to do the suspense thing of, all right, now you take it.
Oh, right.
Okay, okay, now you take it. No, I don't, oh, I don't want to take
all,
it.
Let's all get super high and then and why, hope that
when they ran
searched.
Out of drugs, why didn't they just go to the pop machine, get right. like a bunch of cans of Coke, shake them up and spray them on the thing?
Yeah.
Or like a coffee grinder and a bunch of beans. Like, let's go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Caffeine, if that's the answer. You're taking it.
You're
taking it.
Couldn't you just run into a 7-Eleven and get a ton of no-dos and right. run out?
Yeah, some holes. There are some holes for sure.
You think?
Yeah. I also think it's if you're going to possess the body of somebody like Coach Willis and you're going to have tentacles come out of his face while he worships the rain god or whatever, that it would leave a mark. That's all. Mm-hmm. Might rain leave a mark.
Love it.
The human facial pores are not capable of such exertion. All right. Speaking of the bleachers thing real quick, and then we'll get to some clips. I had a very specific phobia when I was younger, junior high, let's say, 12 to maybe 13, 14. I had a very specific phobia that those, if you were down under there, like some of the smoker kids were, mm-hmm. that thing would collapse and kill you.
Yeah.
So this was the weirdest, like, coming to life of a fear I'd forgotten about. That I no longer have. I don't care now. But back then, it terrified me.
Dude, I used to have bad dreams. I would wake up like sitting up straight, screaming, sweating, having a dream about the bleachers. Like I had, seriously, when I was a kid.
There's something about them. Wusses. There's something about it. Dark. It's dark and wet and trashy down there. And there's something about it. I don't know what it is, but it always got to me. And so this movie was like, no way, dude. They're digging into my actual fear here of when I was 12 or 13.
Yeah, but. Were you afraid of bleachers or were you?
I was never afraid of bleachers. I'm actually doing a search really quick to see if any teenagers have ever been killed underneath bleachers.
That'd be good to know.
Like two.
Let's see. There was a kid who was killed when a set of bleachers flipped over and crushed him. But that's a whole different thing.
That's not good. Mm-hmm.
Close. There is no, I can't find any.
So what you're saying is totally irrational fear by two of the.
There must have been enough of a gap. I guess, you know, you don't have a Cuisinart of a death in a high school without there being some sort of.
Well, listen,
better chance of dying on It's a Small World at Disneyland.
Listen, on ChaCha.com, someone details what the fear of bleachers should or might be. So someone actually asked, what is the fear of bleachers? I don't know about bleachers, but bastilophobia is the fear of falling, and climacophobia is the fear of falling downstairs. Cha-cha.
Cha-cha.
Cha-cha says. So I don't know. I think there's actually a thing where there's a fear of everything. If you look
When I was really small, my brother's 10 years older than me, and so he was on the high school football team when I was like 6, and I was terrified of falling through the bleachers like from really high. I thought I was going to slip and fall right through the gaps.
Yeah, that may have extended to me as well. I think I had similar. I think the whole idea of bleachers, especially these things that you could just push back into the wall and make them disappear somehow, could not deal. Just could not deal with that whole idea. That felt like,
love this.
That's why some people hate flying. It was like, we weren't meant to be in the air. If we were supposed to fly, we'd have wings. And I always was like, if we were meant to sit up that high, we don't have to build it. It'd just be there.
Oh, man.
It's kind of ridiculous. All right. Let's get to some clips here. Got a number of them. Let's start with Lilith says things first.
Mrs. Brummel, with all sadness, no new computers.
So there's your state of the education in 1998. Boy, that old lady in the shower. I forgot about her. Ugh.
Oh, God,
she was
yeah.
awesome. That was the shining moment that I love so much.
And her deal was that she just was resistant to the, like, it wasn't working. Resistant. She was too old.
Her body was too dusty.
Yeah, I guess that's what that was.
Nothing to hold it together.
She reminded me of, like, I don't know, like if somebody just dumped a can of tuna fish in the road and left it there for like 4 weeks of rain. That's what she looked like.
Right. The prosthetics and stuff on her face.
It's gross.
Mm-hmm. It was effective. All right. That's what we wanted. Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's an effective use of stabbing sound effects. Wow. It's more like a fighting game.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. It sounds like Street Fighter.
It was actually really good. I got to give kudos.
Oh, sorry.
I got to give kudos to some of the sound effects in this, because I thought that and anytime somebody did a face plant, which happened twice in this movie, it always sounded really painful. I went, oh, Like when Elijah Wood's character is running down the hall and he slides and he falls and he hits his face on the ground.
Not a fan of faces. When the girl at the swimming pool did that. Ooh.
Oh, and her the blood went out. That was awesome.
I could tell it was her teeth breaking, dude.
Right.
Did not enjoy that. She seemed fine now, making out with the football player in her pink cardigan or whatever she's got now. She's just like Ally Sheedy. They changed that.
Yeah, exactly. The problem was they had two Molly Ringwalds.
Yeah,
right. You can't have
right. But I'm kidding at. Like, have they not ever seen these movies before?
Two Molly Ringwalds. We can barely handle one.
I'm sorry, we've already got a Claire.
Who was the who was the janitor that was all smart and knew more than the principal and that kind of stuff?
John Stewart probably fell into that role.
Okay.
By plopping the sushi into the fish tank.
The closest to the students, probably in terms of understanding them and knowing who they were.
I guess he's supposed to be a really great scientist, but he didn't follow any kind of protocol.
He's making
it up as he go along. You know?
He's a high school teacher.
Yeah.
Right.
I know some really smart high school teachers.
Oh, we may have
a new species. Should we call someone?
No, let's throw in the fish tank, see what happens. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's walk across the room over here.
And forget the fact that Ally Sheedy's hand, when she puts it up against it, makes the little red things go in the shape of her hand. That could be telling. That could be something.
Right. Awesome. You don't go dial 911 in that instant? Yeah, really? Right.
I would have done more than that.
It's just a dried peach. Okay, never mind.
It did look like a little booger or something. It was gross.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a lot of water. It's the other problem. I don't like movies where, what was it? There was a M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie. Signs. Yeah, they couldn't go near water.
But water was the enemy in that movie.
Right.
Water is our friend.
Yeah. Shyamalan Ding Dong saw this and said, you know what? In a couple of years, I'm going to change things.
They got something.
I'm going to get the other Phoenix. No, the one with the thing.
The one with the hair lift. That's the one. All right, let's see what we got here. You ran. Oh, I don't know. This reminds me of words in the when I grew up in the 80s that guys would say to girls in the hallway, and you don't hear this very often anymore, but here's an example of it.
Walk much?
You ran into me, beast.
Beast. We used to call girls beasts.
Beast. Hey, you ran into me, beast.
Dude, you're such a beast.
You did, Scott, because you're in Mormon country where you have all those euphemisms for, in this case, the word was bitch, right? But they didn't. He didn't say bitch.
Yeah, but why didn't he? He should have just gone
right.
I think Beast has a cool. I think Beast is cool.
I want to know what his problem was.
Yeah.
I mean, he was always running into somebody, and it wasn't even like his fault. Everybody was just always running into him.
He was sure limp in this movie. Seemed like he was so quiet to me.
If you're constructing the faculty drinking game, you absolutely have to drink whenever somebody collides with someone else.
It's a good point.
And it would kill you by alcohol poisoning.
But which is true. There was a lot of colliding in high school. I remember running into people a lot at the hall.
Did you run into people a lot?
Yeah, it would happen all the time. You wouldn't be paying attention. You're looking at your books, running into. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I don't remember.
This movie had way too many collisions.
Yeah, there were quite a bit. All right, here's your what's this? I don't even know. Oh, nose ring comment. Why is it playing?
I really love what you've done with your nose ring. It really brings out the color in your eyes.
That's when you should have been worried about her.
Color in your eyes.
Color in your eyes. Your eyes are gold, and so your nose ring brings them out.
That was the instant I was like, oh, look, she's an alien.
Yeah. She was way too.
I'd seen this before. I forgot that she was there.
Did you really?
I forgot. Me too.
That's funny.
I've never seen this.
Ooh, and that hot chick from Dead Like Me.
I've never seen this movie. And that scene where she's basically, inquiring about all the nature of the not lesbian goth girl. That's when I said, I think she's an alien.
No, out loud. Really? I had no clue.
I didn't know she was an alien. I knew there was something wrong. I knew that.
I thought we'd get to somewhat see her boobs too. I'd forgotten that too.
Oh yeah, sorta ish.
Shadow boobs.
I thought she was gonna be the survivor. That's what I really thought. I thought she was gonna be the last one to survive.
She was gonna be the first one to show shadow boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Featured in next month's boob. Let's do John Stewart saying something.
Check his prostate.
That was all I had for him.
I'm going to check his prostate.
Wait, whose prostate was he checking?
The alien. The tank.
Was he being serious or was he joking?
No, he was putting on a glove.
I think you're defending him too much in this. I think this is John Stewart's great shame, this movie.
Mm-hmm. I think it is too. He never mentions it.
He talks about Half-Baked all the time. Never talks about the faculty.
Nope. I forgot he was even in this movie.
No, I remember.
Like, oh, John Stewart.
Plus, Twitter had been exploding about it all, you know, because we warned people, hey, we're going to be watching this in a couple weeks. And everybody's like, dude, that's with John Stewart in it.
No, John Stewart's Great Shame should absolutely be Death to Smoochie.
Oh, yeah, that's the other one.
I forgot about that.
And that came post his new job. He did that while doing The Daily
when
Show.
When he knew better.
He knew what his real calling in life was. And supposedly he's taken this whole summer off to work on a bunch of movie stuff. I don't know what, but something's going on with him.
Zach Braff.
Yeah, no doubt. Maybe it'll be on Kickstarter. Let's hear from the Hobbit himself.
You dial 911 for a dead doll?
That wasn't there. They put that there.
They put that there.
Did you put that there?
there's one of my favorite tropes.
Oh,
adults are so stupid.
Yeah, this thing comes up a lot. Adults are real dumb.
Man, you can't count on it. Of course, it started with his parents throwing out his porn, but like, it gets really bad here where no one will believe him. Has no one ever seen a kid movie? Always start out at least trying to believe your teenage kid when they tell you that they just encountered aliens or no, they really saw something supernatural. At least try. Everyone knows this, except in this film. No one believes him at all.
Oh, no, man. I think he plays it really well.
Whatever.
Dad plays it really well. I think Christopher McDonald plays it
Yeah, no, play the trope really well.
That's when he looks good, but he looks suspicious of the teachers, and he's kind of giving his son a chance to explain himself, but he's like, screw it.
I think they were up and down troping it. I think they got the parent right. They got the kid right. They did the whole thing right. The one part that isn't very tropey that I thought was a little bit weird is they were going through kind of this laundry list of things they need to take away from him because right now he's in trouble. Mm-hmm. I'm taking your phone. No more phone. I'm taking your internet by literally ripping the modem out of the wall. Right. And I'm taking your porno. As if those all three things had equal standing and they were all privileges the parents are totally cool with. If you got boob in your mattress, that's not a problem with us. But we're going to take it because you're in trouble right now. But we'll give it back to you when you're not in trouble again. No parent ever did that.
I see. You think they're taking his pleasures away. I thought the point of it was that they were taking away whatever they were trying to like do a scattershot approach at getting rid of whatever was driving him crazy.
Oh, well, maybe. But all I'm saying is no parent ever that I know of is sitting around going, yeah, we're going to make sure you've got now. Okay, here's your porn. And now as long as your grades stay up and as long as you keep you're nice to your sister, you can keep all the porn you want in there. It's fine. That seemed really off.
You can
to me.
Keep taking your 45 minute showers.
I mean, whatever you need, buddy, because you're getting good grades. Like
you don't need a phone, you don't need porn.
Yeah, and just a note to parents everywhere. You probably already figured this out, but you can't prevent your teenage son from masturbating. It doesn't matter what you take away.
No, well, you could in the act. You could jump in and like really freak him out, and then that'll be the end of it. That'll be the end of it.
That's so gross.
That won't be happening now.
Oh my god.
That's one way to stop it. Just jump right. Jump in and go, bah! And he'll go, I'm not finishing now. This has gone down a terrible path.
It has.
All right, moving on. Let's see what we got here. Oh, here's some swearing, Frodo.
It's a devil's cult or something. You know, maybe they worship comets. Who the f*** knows?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to stay in a handicapped bathroom for the rest of my life.
Oh, he didn't mean to, Mr. Frodo. All right, here's the quiet.
Stay in a handicapped bathroom for the rest of my life.
Here's your quiet football kid whose name was Stan, which I never knew any football kids named Stan, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Here he is being way too quiet. I thought this actor was too quiet all the time. Here he is.
I made a D on a biology test right after, and Mr. Furlong changed it to an A.
This is how his whole thing goes in the whole show.
But he's totally really, the list of it.
That really like, sounded 100%. Like he said. Really sounded like he said Mr. Frodo changed it to an A.
Mr. Furlong.
I'm
sorry,
Mr. Frodo. I turned it into an A.
Play it again and listen to Mr. Frodo. All listen right. for Mr. Frodo.
Here we go.
I made a D on a biology test right after, and Mr. Furlong changed it to an A.
That freaks me out, man.
Mr. Frodo gave me an A.
Time traveler.
That's pretty good. All right. And genre traveler, I guess. Josh does Bane. Listen carefully. This is Josh Hartnett doing Bane. Here we go.
The punishment will be less severe.
Your punishment will be less severe.
It's pretty good.
Wow.
That's great.
Immediately heard that and went, capture. All right. Frodo freaking out on drugs.
You're taking it.
Wow.
Now I have this.
You're taking it.
And I can just do that whenever. Whenever I feel like it,
you're right.
I can play that. All right. There's your stuff. Now here's your this. It's awards, everybody. Pull up the red carpet. Actually, I guess lay it down. Don't pull it up. Right. It's time for the awards. Best Use of John Stewart Award Before He Became Big Award. That's an easy one. They ran away with that one. Another shoe-in was the Wrath of Khan and the Ear Award thing.
Totally.
That's basically ripped off from the Wrath of Khan. And what was the last one? Oh, Really Cool Effective Creature Going Into the Mouse's Ear Award. I thought that looked amazing. Wow.
That did look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't expect that. I thought they'd do a bad close-up that was obviously a bunch of really big hair, you know, and
right.
It was going to look stupid, but that looked like a... That mouse had gotten the business, you know? That was cool. I liked it. That mouse had gotten the business. All right, moving on to Star Trek connections. Famke Janssen, she was on TNG, played Kamala in the fifth episode, The Perfect Mate, the one that kept saying, I am for you, Ulrich of old. And Picard was like,
creepy,
all right.
Yeah. Also hooks up the teacher that ends up with student.
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Ugh. I didn't think about that. That's right. Her and Zeke, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Christopher McDonald, who was the mean guy from Happy Gilmore and the dad in this one on TNG, played Lieutenant Richard Castillo in the third season episode Yesterday's Enterprise, where they brought back Tasha Yar for one last 5 minutes before never having her on again. Well, actually, she came back as other characters, but
yeah,
I guess in the last episode she was herself. But right. Anyway. And then finally, Bebe Neuwirth on TNG. She played Nurse Linnell in the fourth season episode, First Contact. She was all hot for Riker. Mm-hmm. In fact, we just did this on Stump of Trek Nerd.
Yeah, we have audio. Do you still have the audio?
I don't think. I chuck those when he sends me those. I don't have that. But you can hear her totally trying to get it on with Riker at some point.
Right. Oh, tell me about this sex.
That's not a bad Bebe Neuwirth impression right there.
Thanks.
Soundtrack great. Today I'm going to give it a W for whatever. Kind of boring.
What?
Not that big a deal.
Good covers.
Really?
Good covers.
Well, so I never count covers. I'm thinking like score and stuff. The covers were great. Yeah. They were fine.
Mm-hmm. Lane Staley did the cover song We Don't Need No Education.
Floyd. And it's great.
It's fantastic. I had the soundtrack. It is a fantastic soundtrack.
It's just the score was dumb. Just a lot of...
Really? I thought it was okay.
Discordant sounds, and it's fine. Oh, wow. It's fine.
I'm actually looking at it right now. So Soul Asylum does the Alice Cooper cover. Creed, all right, does the other...
If you're a 90s music fan, even that Creed song wasn't so bad.
Yeah, it wasn't.
There's some early Creed that was all right.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll take it back.
Sean covering David Bowie's Changes.
But the Lane Staley bit, I
garbage.
Love that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Garbage is in there.
Yeah. Yep. Doing an
they
original.
They got garbage.
Okay. I like garbage. What's her name? Forget her name all the time.
Shirley Manson.
That's her. She's hot.
She is.
All right. So there you go. Let's get to our Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy. What do you have?
The Faculty. Robert Rodriguez and the guy who wrote Scream mail in a rework of The Thing that's like a sharp pen to the eye. Ow!
Yeah, it'll, now it'll start doing whatever the hell it did. Brian Dunaway, what do you got?
The Faculty. We don't need no education. We got these old juiced up Apple IIgs that the Crypt Keeper upgraded for us. And juice boxes! Was he really drinking a juice box? No wonder he got his ass kicked every day.
I know, walking around by himself on the field.
High school drinking a juice box.
Nerd. No wonder your nuts are munched.
Frodo.
Next up, we have Brian Ibbett.
The Faculty. If they just would have added a sense of humor, this would have been so much better. Still, it's a good commercial for Robert Patrick Sprinkler Repair.
Damn it. Get it.
Sprinkle repair.
Robert Patrick Sprinkler
repair is hard to say.
That's a hard sentence. Robert Patrick Sprinkler repair.
I love how he was trying to hold the water in. It was
sprinkler and repair run into each other in unnatural ways.
Uh-huh. All right. Sprinkler.
Here's what I learned while you started all your daytime scenes with musical montages using Grunge of the Day, because they did every time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Frodo is bad at sneaking out of the house.
A little bit.
Just fill out the window.
Yeah, he gets caught in the front yard. Like,
are you kidding me, son?
That was
at least
really
get
stupid.
Caught at the Quickie Mart. Yeah. Like,
he's actually on the cover of Boob.
Yep. Had by the time this that happened, had the parents been turned? By the way, did I get that out of that? That the parents were already aliens?
No,
the way they were pulling down the Okay. They looked like they were trying to make us think that.
Yeah, they were.
Next up, Josh Hartnett is a guy that can get you things.
Yes, he is.
He reminded me of Red.
Moose.
Mm-hmm. I hope that is the last time I saw Frodo Baggins. And then finally, never trust a Bic pen full of white powder. And that's what I learned while I did whatever I did. All right, here it is, your email of the week. Got an email from somebody. Bernie sent this in. Says, I remember seeing this film in 1983 and getting the same kind of space opera vibe that Star Wars gave me, but only a 30% as good. It's not that great, but it's a win. That and George Peppard does the same accent he does in Damnation Alley. Oh, and it stars Richard John Boy Walton Thomas. Are you in? And the movie he's talking about is... Hold on. Crap. I didn't capture that. I didn't pull that part out, but I can find it real quick.
Oh, no.
I have it right here.
I was thinking, did he already say what the movie was? Because I don't remember.
Battle Beyond the Stars.
Oh, I remember Battle Beyond the Stars.
Love that movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that one we should watch?
Love that movie.
Is that a keeper? Maybe it is.
That is definitely
a keeper.
Okay. If we can get that movie and it's streaming, we should watch that movie.
Well, look what I have in my hands, and this is not what we're doing next, but I'm just going to mention it anyway. We've had a fan send us a couple of film DVDs that I have to mail out to you guys. We've got four each. First one is a family double feature featuring one film is Hulk Hogan in Mr. Nanny.
Oh, yeah.
He's big, he's bad, and he's babysitting. He doesn't stand a chance. And then the second one is Hulk Hogan, Christopher Lloyd, and Shelley Duvall in Suburban Commando.
I forgot about that movie.
Right suburb, wrong planet, it says. Wow.
Mm. Is that going to be Aliens?
That's a double. We've never gotten a double feature. I think he's an alien, right?
Did the person who sent it specify which of those he wanted us to watch?
He wants both. I really think he wants both. Maybe we do a double header. Oh,
he wants double barrels.
That'll make me want to die.
Have we already talked about what we are doing next?
No, but I got to tell you about this last one. The Rock. We got four copies of The Rock because we've been talking about The Rock. So Sean Connery, Nicolas Cage, Ed Harris, Sean Bean. No, not Sean Bean. Michael Bean. And a bunch of other people. So watch for that. But no, we haven't talked about what's next. What's up next?
Next week, we are going to be watching and talking about another Jean-Claude Van Damme film. This one is The Quest.
Does this not solidify him as the most sacked person on the show? It's got to be now.
The sackiest.
Between
not,
him
it's
and
close.
We really could have done like the first 40 episodes just him and Stallone, just one after the other. It's not just JC Van D. It's freaking Roger Moore.
Yep.
This film has
James Remar,
someone
we
else.
Just saw in
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
What was it? The one of the glowing green stuff in the bottom of the church.
Yeah.
Prince of Darkness.
The green?
Prince of Darkness.
Prince of Darkness.
Yeah.
The glowing green stuff at the bottom of the church. That was the code name before they finally called the movie this.
That's our next episode. And then the episode after that, we're going to watch a very recent film, Lockout.
Yes.
That would be
Guy Pearce.
That would be the Guy Pearce, Maggie Grace, Peter Stormare, Stummer. Mm-hmm. Peter Stomar. How do you say that guy's name?
Stomar.
Stomar?
I'd say Stomar, yeah.
That's a weird
name. But I don't do names good. You know that.
Anyway.
I don't do good names.
Stormare.
Starman.
Lockout 2012.
I'm excited to see that because people really like that, and it looks like a movie I would enjoy, and it's a great excuse to watch it. I'm stoked to see it. So we'll watch that. Guy Pearce, interesting dude, that guy. The name, I've always hated the name, though. Can't stand either. The name Guy or Pearce even separately. I don't. I hate it.
What's going, Guy?
What's going on there, Guy? Oh, people that call people Guy when they mean, like, even bro is better than Guy. I hate that. Anyway.
It was great in Memento.
Speaking of Guy Pearce, something we probably would never watch for FilmSack, but is also streaming, if you didn't know, The King's Speech is streaming. Really excellent
film. Oh, that's a movie I kept meaning to see, and now I guess Warner Brothers doesn't own The King's Speech, so that's good. Warner Brothers, for people that don't know, we've been getting a lot of tweets and emails about this, but you've all out there been concerned that because the Warner pulled out a ton of content, over 1,700 movies, that this was going to interfere with our ability.
Impede
is the word I meant. Right. Thank you. Our ability to do quality film sacks. And I would argue that there is still plenty of crap to cover. So.
Right. But then we remembered Warner Brothers sucks. but it doesn't suck so hard that it's good film sack.
Right. So we're exactly. Okay. We're okay. So everyone's just relaxed. Everything's fine. But yes, next week, The Quest. So watch it up. See it. Be ready. No, it won't be next week. Sorry. Next week, we're taking a break for Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
No Mother's Day next week. No show on Mother's Day. The following week, back at it with the quest. So watch for that. And then right after that, lockdown. And then after that, is it lock up or lockdown?
Lockout.
It's lockout.
Okay.
Lockout. We already saw lock up.
Yeah, we've seen lock up. Have we seen lockdown as well? I think we might have.
I think we did. The one with Sylvester Stallone and Sutherland.
That one's the lock up. The lock up.
And wouldn't you love to make a movie called Lock In?
Yeah. Locked out.
Lock around.
Lock in would be a horror movie set at a church with a bunch of teenagers spending the night sleeping out in the fellowship hall.
Hey, we just saw that.
Did we?
Had Alice Cooper out as a hobo.
That's right.
All right. Well, stay tuned for all of that and more. In the meantime, if you'd like to support us, you can go to thefilmsack.com. That's filmsack.com. And you can also email us at filmsack@gmail.com. We can also be found on Twitter at FilmSack. Leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love to get your feedback. Love to hear what you think about the show. Thank you guys so much for your 5-star reviews. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for the considerably more tan than the rest of us, Randy Jordan. We'll see you next time.
Hey, Scott, no more flogging the bishop, all right?
Oh.
Musgrove.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.